praise you, Jesus. Fear not. He said, I have set my love upon you. There is no fear in my love. That love casts out all fear. Fear not. Fear not. I am with you wherever you go. There is no place, there's no dark valley, but that I am not with you. And my rod and my staff, they will comfort you. There is no place that is darker than my light can shine. There is no place that is dark in your soul that my light can't penetrate and shine into. So arise, shine. Your light has come. The glory of the Lord has risen upon you. So arise to that light. Arise to that place. You can't work your way there. You can't think your way there. All you can do is step your way there by faith and receive what I've done for you. I've made the way. I am the way. No one can come except through that way. You can't come except through that way. There is one mediator between you and the Father. That's me, Jesus. Take my hand. There's mercy and grace. Receive the light. Receive the strength. Receive the help in your time of need right now. Fear not. I am with you. Fear not. My light has come. There is light. Where there seems to be confusion, there is light that shines clearly. Just get to me. Let me receive your words. Let me receive your heart. I will put it back together. Just come unto me. Come unto me and find rest for your soul this morning. Praise you, Father. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus.
Welcome to the Door of Life Church podcast. Our mission is to share the love of Jesus with the world and believers, to teach them how to walk in victory, and to help them find and fulfill God's plan for their life. If you have any comments about today's podcast, please contact us through our website at dooroflife.org. Door of Life Church, where faith meets real life.
Start with a passage of scripture this morning, taken from the book of Matthew. This is an exhortation that Jesus gave his disciples. He was ushering in a brand new paradigm, and he said this, Matthew 5:38. You've heard that it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I tell you not to resist an evil person. But whoever slaps you on your right cheek, turn the other to him also. You've heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you. This is kind of an eye-opener, a different way of thinking, paradigm of love and trust. And I mean, this is kind of the scripture we hear quoted a lot from a lot of different contexts and whatnot. But that verse 39, don't resist an evil person. Whoever slaps you on your right cheek, turn to him the other also. Loving your enemy, praying, blessing, doing good. This is a good word. It's a good message. There's power in this love, this kind of divine love. This is the kind of divine love that loved us while we were still sinners. And Jesus came and died on the cross for us. He was introducing us to this kind of love. You know, he goes on to say, what's the big deal if you just love those who love you? Anybody can do that. But when you can love people who don't like you, people who hate you, now you're getting into real love. You're getting into the God kind of love. And so he's introducing them to another kind of love, which is wonderful, awesome. Here's another scripture. Brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. Amplified, same verse. Brethren, if any person is overtaken in misconduct or sin of any sort, you who are spiritual, who are responsive to and controlled by the Spirit, should set him right and restore and reinstate him without any sense of superiority and with all the gentleness, keeping an attentive eye on yourself, lest you should be tempted also. Now, here's two interesting thoughts. This is a thought that says, I love, I forgive, I bless, I do good, I'm turning the other cheek. But there's another scripture, New Testament, Apostle Paul, Book of Galatians. If any man is overtaken in a trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness. On the surface, these can almost seem a little bit like conflicting truths, because when you begin to realize, read about, understand love and the love of God and how powerful it is, and how it suffers long and is kind, and you put up with stuff and you tolerate stuff because love, part of love is suffering. And Jesus shows us that. But on the other hand, there are times when you can confront things and deal with things and address things in front of people. In fact, it's the will of God for you, when you see somebody overtaken in a trespass, to go to that person to restore them. This would be a confrontation, Galatians 6:1 is talking about. In our Wednesday evening Bible study, we've been talking about how faith works by love and kind of the almost the intersection of faith and love sometimes as they come together. Because a lot of times we talk about love, maybe you kind of start with this passage of Scripture, and you just talk about love and going on, love of God, powerful it is, how wonderful it is, how amazing, how different it is, the way we naturally think, and walking in love. And maybe on another vein, you learn about faith and just kind of a faith series or a faith sermon or message, and just think about faith and taking God at His word and trusting God and looking to Him and believing His promises, standing on His word. But there is an intersection that happens between faith and love many times. Galatians tells us that faith works by love. And a lot of times, as we kind of look at that intersection, and we're looking at that intersection, as we're doing again on our midweek Bible study, we come to this inflection point many times where I'm walking in love, I'm turning the other cheek, I'm loving, I'm forgiving, I'm doing good. But is there ever a time that I need to confront things? Many times when you're trying to walk by faith, live for God, take God at His promise, take God at His word, and the enemy knows he can't get you, he can't shake you off that promise, you're holding on to that promise. A lot of times what the enemy does is he tries to come and give you a side attack through relationships and people. If he can't get you off the word, then he's going to distract you with the offense of somebody else, somebody who hurts you. Paul tells us you could have faith to move mountains, but without love, profits nothing. So if he can't get you from the faith side, from getting you to doubt the word of God, then he'll just try to get somebody to do a side shot on you, to hurt you, to offend you, to distract your faith in God's word to the pain and the hurt of a rejection of a relationship or something like that. We're not ignorant of his devices. He has these different things. And so we've been talking about this kind of that intersection between faith and love. There's times when you're walking by faith that a big part of walking by faith and keeping walking by faith is powerfully walking in love and dealing with things as they come up. Now, because a lot of times we've kind of heard more of this side, the love, forgive, turn the other cheek, we kind of in our mind and heart think, you know, I can't ever confront things. I can't deal with things sometimes. I want to say something and I can't say it. I just got to love and forgive and turn the other cheek. Is that right? Yes, you need to love and forgive and turn the other cheek. But love and forgive and turn the other cheek does not mean that you never confront things, that you never have the right and the ability and the Holy Spirit dealing with you to confront things. So this morning, we're going to really talk along the lines of the message this morning. We're going to answer this question. So when is it time to confront? So when is it time to confront? And we've all been there. We know what it's like. And a lot of times when you're talking about confronting things, you're talking about the thing many times. It could be something you've tried to confront before, and it hurts, and it blows up. And so, kind of use the ditches analogy, you can get into a ditch where, I'll tell you one thing, I'm never going to confront that thing again. It's too painful to ever confront it. I'm never going there. And so because you're in this ditch, you're actually in a ditch, not able to confront something because of a fear of confrontation. You're afraid to confront. Do you know that love that we just got done talking about? That can turn the other cheek? That perfect love of God? There's no fear in the love of God. Perfect love casts out all fear. That fear that can turn the other cheek, that can love and pray and bless and do good, is fearless. The love of God is afraid of nothing. There's no fear in it, including the fear of confrontation. When you begin to walk in the love of God, your fear to confront will go away. And a lot of times we're in this place and we're thinking, I'm walking by love, I'm forgiving, I'm doing what I'm supposed to do. And if you stay in this place very long, this is where you can flirt with depression and different things like that, because it's like checkmate in your mind and you can't address that thing. You need to address that thing and you get some things out of your heart and you can't. So when is it time to confront? When is it time to deal with some things? God wants you to be able to confront things. He wants you to be able to deal with things. Praise God. There can be another ditch too, where maybe you've come from that ditch or something. You think, I'm never going to deal with that. I'm going to confront it. You can kind of just be almost jumping on every little thing because you're just, you know, I don't want to be one of those wimpy people that can't confront anything, so I'm going to just overdo it. So you can over-confront. You can over-confront and you can under-confront. You can be chip on your shoulder, over-confront, or spirit of fear, never confront. We've all experienced this. I know this isn't not just me this morning, but these are things that we deal with. And how do we reconcile that with walking in love? How do I reconcile that with turning the other cheek? Is there a place scripturally to go to a person and to address some things? Yeah, there is. And so this morning, if you've been dealing with that, or you got a situation, or you got an issue, or a relationship issue, this message is just for you. And God is going to speak to your heart this morning. And He's going to bring some clarity and freedom. And He's going to give you some direction this morning. There's nothing you have to be and stay in bondage to. God is afraid of nothing. And sometimes we've confused what we've called walking in love for a spirit of fear. There's no fear in His love. When you're turning the other cheek, you're not turning it in fear. When you're blessing those who curse you, you're not doing it with a victim complex. There's no fear in it. So this morning, we're going to talk about, so when is it time to confront? I've been dealing with this thing. Could be days, months, years. And I just really feel like I need to confront it. I need to deal with it. All right, let's go. So when is it time to confront? After you confront yourself. All right? There's going to be some pre-confrontation confrontations. All right? Jesus put it this way. Why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye, but do not consider the plank in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, let me remove the speck from your eye, and look at the plank. A plank is in your own eye. Hypocrite. First remove the plank from your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. What a powerful, powerful truth. In other words, you know, it's kind of, you know, on the surface you'd think, you know, don't worry about your brother. Don't worry about, you know. He doesn't stop at saying, you know, just get the plank out of your own eye, you hypocrite. He goes on to say, remove the plank from your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. Wow. Isn't that interesting? It's not just saying, don't look the other way. Don't go there. Don't go there. Don't go there. No. He's saying, deal with some things. Get some things right in your own heart, and then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye. I want to confront some things. You're over here, and I want to confront some things. Again, when is it time to confront? We're going to do some due diligence. Because the encouraging thing that we find out is you can confront. You who are spiritual, go to such a one in the spirit of meekness. What are you doing? You're in the process of getting spiritual. You're in the process of getting qualified to be able to confront some things. Because we've all done this too, where we've confronted some things and our eyes are full of junk. But what does Jesus say? Then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. We got the logs in our own eye. And if you've got stuff going on in your life, if you're in hypocrisy, you are, the scripture says, if you sow to the flesh, you will of the flesh reap corruption. What does that mean? You'll get stuff in your eye. Oh, I'm just doing my little things, my little weights in the sins that so easily beset me, no big deal. Well, if you just continue on in them, you do reap things. You can reap fear, insecurity, works of the flesh, different things like that, and gets in your eye. You don't realize sometimes when you're just giving a pass to your own stuff, but being critical of other people's stuff, Jesus said, nah, get the log out of your own eye. Get it out of your own eye. Be honest and realize that, man, I might not be seeing things correctly. And Jesus, he says, get the log out of your own eye that you may see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. If you're over here on the merry-go-round of never being able to confront, what is the first thing that I need to do in terms of when is it time to confront? Just confront myself. Say, hey, Ed, hey, am I sowing to the flesh in some things? Take an honest inventory. Am I just headlonging into sin? Am I living in known wrong things that are causing fear and insecurity in my own heart? Am I trying to look at that person and judge that person through the lens of my own guilt? That's not going to be accurate. Have you had things in your eye before? I wear contacts, and so sometimes I'll have a contact. Actually, I wear one. It's kind of a mono vision deal where I can see close with one eye and far with the other eye. So, but if that one eye that I have the contact in has got a speck on it or something, boy, everything is just cloudy, fuzzy. You know, it's not that my vision itself has changed. It's something is in my eye. And it affects the way I see things. And so, first things first, I got to get my own eye cleared up. So, that's one of the things. Judging myself. Here's another aspect. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were saved for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. What are we talking about? When is it time to confront? Well, first of all, I'm going to confront myself. If I've got known logs in my eye, I need to get them out of my eye. Also, bitterness, unforgiveness. Am I bitter right now? Do I want to confront from a place of bitterness? Or have I forgiven that person again? Right? When we're asking the question, when is it time to confront? We're not asking the question, when is it time to stop forgiving? Peter already asked that question. How often do I have to forgive my brother when he sins? 7 times? No, 70 times 7. So we're not talking about when do I finally get to lay into a person? No, not at all. That's not what we're answering. We're saying, when is it time to confront? You've got to confront yourself. Just be honest. Get your heart clear before God. Get your relationship right with God. Be sure you've forgiven that person, whatever it is. Father, in the name of Jesus, I forgive. I forgive them for what they've said, what they've done in Jesus' name. And I love how the scripture says, be kind, let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking. What are we doing? We're getting spiritual. All right? Put away with all malice, be kind, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. So I'm in this place, and I'm confronting myself, and I'm saying, Father, even as you've forgiven me, I'm going to remember that $1 million debt you forgave me, and I forgive them. One thing's for sure. Before I confront, I'm going to go there with a place of having forgiven. Again, you got deep emotions and things to deal with, but you are by faith going to forgive them. By faith, you're going to forgive. And what is that doing? It's qualifying you to be able to confront some things. It's qualifying you as a spiritual person to be moved by the Spirit of God and not just rat-tat-tat that same old argument, but to go there with the anointing and the grace and the authority in the Spirit to address some things. That starts from this place. I still forgive. I'm getting the logs out of my own eye. I love the scripture. John says, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins, cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Amplified. If we freely admit that we've sinned, get the log out of our eyes, confess our sins, he's faithful and just, true to his own nature and promises, and will forgive our sins, dismiss our lawlessness, and continuously cleanse us from all unrighteousness, everything not in conformity to his will and purpose, thought, and action. So what is it we're saying? There's just a place where you're before that throne of grace, and you're going, Oh, okay, Lord, I just receive forgiveness, cleansing from all unrighteousness. What am I doing here, getting the logs out of my own eye? I'm just getting my conscience toward God right again. I'm confronting myself. Before I deal with that person on that issue, I'm getting some things right in my own heart, in my own mind. Now, this doesn't mean that I have to live in sinless perfection 24/7 or else I'm not qualified to confront. I'm not talking about that. We're all growing, we're all developing, we're all overcoming by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony, okay? Don't think that I'm saying some. But what you do have to do is you have to have your conscience right before God. In other words, I'm in fellowship with God here. I'm back in fellowship with God. I'm being honest about my own sin, getting it clear. Why? I'm getting logs out of my eye. When you sin and you deal with it, you don't realize the logs that it puts in your eye. But when you get that clearing, say, nope, I'm honest. Here we go, Lord. Help me to overcome. But I'll tell you one thing. I'm clear. There's nothing hindering my fellowship with you. When is it time to confront? After you've confronted yourself. Take care of business. Take care of some of those things in your own heart. And just be honest with you. What are you doing? You're getting spiritual. That old Rocky song, Getting Strong Now. Da 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 da. Kind of think of that. And here's the working out and things like that. Gonna fly now, getting strong. Well, you're getting spiritual now. What are you doing? You're getting spiritual. You're getting your heart right. You're getting your heart prepared to where you can address things. And it's not like it was before. It's different. Because you are now, and there's something about being that kind, tender-hearted, forgiving one another. When you're in fellowship with God, I'll tell you what, there's just something powerful in your heart. There's a tenderness that He puts in you emotionally, mentally, when you are really hearing from Him and you're hearing His word and you're hearing Him speak to you. There's a gratitude and an appreciation all over again for your forgiveness, for your, even as He's forgiven you. Next, as far as when is it time to confront? After you confront God, it's one thing to confront yourself, and that's what you really got to start with. Get that log out of your own eye. Why am I doing this? So that I can see clearly to confront those things that I need to confront later on. I'm confronting myself. When I've been honest, forgiven, received forgiveness, now I'm going to confront God. Oh, God yearns to be confronted with these things. You know, we talked last week about rejection. And rejection is a painful thing, emotionally, mentally, dealing with rejection. And one of the points was, man's rejection is not God's rejection. And in our minds, for some reason, it's easy to confuse the two. And when we're rejected by man, we just feel mad at God, and we feel like, why did you let this happen? Da-da-da-da-da. We give God the silent treatment, and pretty soon, you know, we're just feeling boxed out. But God wants us to confront Him. This is what Jesus said. He said, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be open. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. Don't bargain with God. This is the message. Don't bargain with God. Be direct. Ask for what you need. This isn't a cat-mouse hide-and-seek game we're in. What is Jesus saying? He's saying, look, you need something? Ask. The Father knows what you have need of before you ask. You can be sitting there needing to confront the situation, and God knows you need to confront that situation. You know you need to confront that situation. He's just waiting for you to ask Him how to do it. He's saying, ask, seek, knock. Every time I do it, it's checkmate. It's not checkmate to Him. There's no checkmate for God in this. He sees the big picture. He knows how to say, what to say. But in this place of confronting God, this is where I'm getting this 1,000-pound weight off of my soul and on to Him. Ask, seek, knock. Here's the scripture that we get in Philippians where we can see this put into action. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need. Thank Him for all He's done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. And now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. Fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about these things that are excellent and worthy of praise. So what is the scripture telling us to do? You know, Jesus said, ask, seek, knock. The Apostle Paul, writing to the Philippian church, he said, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. You know, you could have this relationship issue. And a lot of times what we'll do when we're hurt and we're feeling pain is we can talk to everybody in the world about that relationship issue. But until you've talked to God about it, you haven't prayed yet. And people can't give you a peace that passes your understanding. They could give you some sympathy. They could give you some different tips, hints, tricks, different things like that. A lot of times to remind of so-and-so, whatever. There can be human things that God can use, instruction. But our instructions are to pray. Ask God. God wants to be addressed. He wants to be addressed. He wants to be in the room. He wants to be in the equation. He wants you to ask, seek, knock. He wants you to, from this place, say, Father, how do I address that situation? How do I deal with it? You know what happens when I try to deal with it? You know how? Help me, Father. Show me how to do this. Show me how to approach. I don't know. I need help. God, I'm looking to you for answers. It's a care. It weighs on my heart, and I'm casting this care on you. Show me what to do. Show me how and when to address this situation. What are we talking about? When is it time to confront? You confronted yourself. Now you're confronting God. He said, in all your ways, acknowledge him, and he'll direct your paths. I'm giving him something to direct in my acknowledging him, in my confronting God. God, help me. I need this. What does God give me? He didn't say he'd give me the answer right away. He said he'd give me a peace that would keep my heart and mind as I live in Christ Jesus. Remember, as we're talking about love, love suffers long and is kind. What is the duration from the time you're dealing with an issue to a time that you would need to confront it? There's going to be a different time for different situations and different people. But in the meantime, you have peace to help you. You have peace before the confrontation to keep your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. So when you're going to confront, your heart and your mind is in Christ Jesus as you're confronting. That's all I know. And then finally, things that are true, honorable, right, just, pure, lovely, admirable, think about these things. In other words, I'm getting my heart and my mind in the right place. I'm confronting God. What am I doing? I'm getting spiritual. I'm getting prepared to confront. You got to kind of keep that big picture in mind. I'm not going here with a big victim complex and I'm just, why am I always the person that has to walk in love? Why do I always have to turn the other cheek? Why do I always have to We all feel that. I know that. But here in God is going to say, there's peace, there's grace, and you say, Lord, I'm getting ready to confront. I'm getting my heart ready. I'm getting my heart spiritual and prepared. Now let me say this too. We'll look at one more scripture along these lines. Therefore, in all things, talking about Jesus, we kind of talked about this in communion this morning. There, in all things, he, Jesus, had to be made like his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God to make propitiation for the sins of the people. For in that he himself has suffered being tempted, he is able to aid those who are tempted. Amplified in verse 18, for because he himself, in his humanity, has suffered being tempted, tested, tried, he's able immediately to run to the cry of, assist, relieve, those who are being tempted and tested and tried and who therefore are being exposed to suffering. Jesus experienced this. He experienced a band of people that would just follow him from city to city to try to catch him in his words and then just lie about him when they couldn't. He knows what this is like. He knows what it's like to not be understood and to not want to be understood. Jesus gets that. He knows it. He experiences it. And what does it say? In this place, as I'm confronting God, not only is there peace, but there is aid. There's aid from Jesus. He can run to the cry of assist and relieve those who are being tempted. In other words, there's relief. There's pain relief in here. There's pain relief in confronting God. There's an empathy that he can give you that people can't give you. There is an empathy he can give you that's divine, not just human, natural, emotional empathy. He can give you an empathy that'll go into your spirit and strengthen you with might. Like the Apostle Paul said, I pray that you may be strengthened with might according to his glorious power for all patience and long-suffering with joy. Wow. Think about that use of his glorious power. You think of healing, raising people from the dead. No, he's going to strengthen you with might for all patience and long suffering with joy. There are places and things that you get in confronting God that are going to prepare you to confront people. But it's going to have you, it's going to settle you down on the inside. You know that he knows, and you know that he knows. You've expressed your heart, you've cast your care, you've aired it out to the nth degree. You know one thing. Not only does he know what you have need of, but you've told him what you have need of. That's prayer. It's not based on what he knows. It's based on what you've told him. Getting what's in you out at the throne of grace. In exchange, there's a peace that can keep your heart and mind in Christ. Jesus, people can't give me that kind of peace. There's an aid. There's a deep down spiritual strengthening and pain relief that he can give me in that place. When I confront God, I'm going to God to get relief, to get pain relief, to get strengthened, to get what's in my heart out. What am I doing? I'm getting prepared to confront. I'm getting spiritual. I'm getting myself in that place to where I can go and confront those things that I know I need to confront. And then after you confront spiritual opposition, okay? So we've talked about confronting yourself. We've talked about confronting God. But you know what? Before you confront somebody, you got to realize too that there is stuff in the air you can't see with these eyes. It's one thing to get the log out of your eyes in terms of getting your heart clear before God. But it's another thing to clear the air of stuff that these natural eyes can't see. Do you realize, especially if there's things that it's a big one, maybe years, things you're dealing with confronting, there's more at work than just you and that person? For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. There's going to be a confronting of spiritual opposition that has to take place. If you think that conflict is void of any powers and principalities, I mean, Satan is the father of lies and he's the accuser of the brethren. We've just got to open our mind to the possibility that it's not just their personality or their stubbornness or their insensitivity or their selfishness or their da-da-da-da-da. There may be other forces at work here. There may be other forces at work here that are disguising things. You know, Satan is an illusionist. Have you seen the illusionists at work? Magicians. You can see a lot of the times the classic, you got the lady in the box, and then they'll move the three boxes all around, and she's just, you know, smiling and moving her fingers, and it's just not possible. And your brain is telling you that can't be real. That can't be happening. And you know it's not real. You know that there's no way a person's, you know, head could be over there, and, you know, their toes are over there, and yet they all come back together. So you're seeing something, and you know it's not right, but you don't know why or how it's not right because your eyes are showing you something. It's so real. That's the way spiritual things are. You're a spiritual being. And there are powers and principalities that war against your mind. Do you understand? When we're talking about renewing your mind, thinking right, there's an element to our own human patterns of thought that we have to get right, that we have to renew our mind. But there's another area of mind stuff that is not about you renewing your mind. That's you have to deal with in your mind. These powers and principalities have arguments and reasonings and accusations that war against your mind. It's not a thought pattern that you're fixing. It's spiritual forces that have to be dealt with. And when those forces are gone, those thoughts are gone. Because the power and the pressure of that demonic realm is gone. This is a side. What are we talking about? When is it time to confront? After you've confronted spiritual opposition. Here's what James says. Therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. I love that. Before we ever get into the resisting of spiritual oppositions, you realize this is kind of the third point. We have to come from point number two. We're confronting God. Well, actually, we're getting our heart right with God, getting the log out of our eye, then we're confronting the issue and the problem with God. At that point, you are submitted to God. Not only is your heart clear before the Lord, not only have you cast your care on Him and let Him know, but you are in a position where you're submitted to God and you're ready to do business with the enemy and to resist the devil. See the sequencing? Submit to God, resist the devil. A lot of times somebody hurts us, we're frustrated, we're angry, and we try to resist the devil out of human natural anger. Man's wrath doesn't work the righteous purpose of God. You can't resist the devil from a place of human wrath. You submit to God, resist the devil. And a lot of times, let's kind of go here. 1 Peter says, stay alert, watch out for your great enemy, the devil. He prowls like a roaring lion seeking for someone to devour. Stand firm against him, be strong in your faith. Remember your Christian brothers and sisters all over the world are going through the same kind of sufferings you are. In other words, so he's saying, look, we know it's not a real lion. We know they're not audible roars to our ears, but yet they're roars. That's these powers and these principalities that we're warring, that we're wrestling against. And he goes out as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. And so as you're dealing with some of this stuff, like we said, I'm submitting to God, I'm resisting the devil. In fact, when I'm in that place and I'm before the throne of grace sometimes, submitting to God, confronting God with what's in my heart and saying, God, help me, please, show me what to do. From that point, I will a lot of times I'll say, Lord, I'm submitting myself to you right now in the name of Jesus. I'm submitting to you. And I will verbalize it like this. I'm about to resist the devil right now. And I'm just asking for mercy and grace to help me in this time of need. But I want you to know, Father God, this ball is in your court. This care is cast over upon you. And I thank you for it. So from that place of confrontation, I am then, you know, mercy and grace to help. I'll kind of do it like this. You know, Father God, I receive mercy and grace to help me in my time of need. I thank you for it. I'm submitted to you. And then from that place of prayer, I'll turn a hand and say, now I resist you, Satan, in the name of Jesus. I resist your spiritual opposition. I resist those powers and those principalities that are warring accusations and hatred and anger and bitterness. In Jesus' name, I break the power of them off my mind, off my life, in Jesus' name. I pray for the other person. I pray in the name of Jesus for the powers and the lies and the deceptions to be broken off their mind, in Jesus' name, that they may see things as they are, that they may see things, that they may know my heart, that they may know my motive in the name of Jesus. I take authority over things that are working against them in Jesus' name. What am I doing? I'm confronting spiritual opposition, but I'll do it from that place of being submitted to God. After that, I'll put my hands up together and I'll say, thank you, Lord. I receive that freedom, that deliverance, that wholeness in Jesus' name. What is this? Confronting spiritual opposition. What am I doing? I'm getting ready to confront. I'm getting spiritual. I'm getting my heart in a place to where I can deal with things that I've wanted to deal with for a long time. I'm getting to that place. Praise God. And I'll tell you something. Sometimes you get in these pre-confrontation confrontations. And a lot of times in my pre-confrontation confrontations with myself and with God and with the enemy, I come through that and I find out I don't even need to confront it anymore. Something just got fixed in me. You know, when you're out of fellowship with God and things aren't right, every little thing is huge. When you're really strong in the Lord and the power of His might, and you're walking in fellowship with Him and your cares are cast, and you're walking in that peace that passes your understanding, and the authority is broken over your life, the thing that was so big, it's like, wow. This is not even a big deal anymore. Praise God. There's grace. There's peace. You know? And I can go on and the Lord will just say, yeah, you're fine. You're good. You're good. And it's like, it's just tiny. And His grace is sufficient for me. And I don't have to confront things that I thought were such big deals when I'll confront these things. Not everything. There's still some things that can and do need to be confronted. But I'm just saying there's a lot of stuff in me that falls off after I get through some of these confrontations, all right? And you'll find that in yourself too. Roaring lion, what does those roars sound like? It sounds like this. Who's wise and understanding among you? Let him show by good conduct that his works are done in the meekness of wisdom. You could rephrase that as this. Who's wise and understanding and capable and qualified to confront among you, okay? He says, but if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast and lie against the truth. This wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly, sensual, and demonic. That's the spiritual opposition. For where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are there. And so what are we saying? Those roars of the enemy, those powers and principalities, they register in the form of self-seeking. You know, when you became a Christian, the most exciting thing in the whole world was Jesus and your love for him and green pastures, and he loves you and he's for you. What self-seeking does is it changes the channel and it changes the focus of your whole life, and it's about you and your problem or that issue or that situation. And you go down that path and you're going to find a bunch of stuff, but it's not God. And you realize that, no, I'm not playing that channel. Those are demonic roars. The scripture tells us in 2 Corinthians 10:3-5, though we walk in flesh, we don't war according to the flesh. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, they're powerful through God. Casting down arguments, pulling down strongholds, any high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. In other words, we've got weapons that's going to put out these roars. What am I doing? I'm resisting in Jesus' name. I'm resisting in the name of Jesus. And I just want to clarify something make a distinction. We all have areas of our mind that are getting renewed. We all have ways that we're thinking wrong, that we need to change the way we think to come in line with the promises of God. I get that. But that is not what I'm talking about this morning. I'm talking about spiritual forces that work against your mind. And when those forces are broken, those thoughts stop. I'm talking about a spiritual fog that lifts in the name of Jesus. The birds are singing and the sky's a little bluer, and you didn't even have 15 hours in the Word that day. It was just the power of the name of Jesus that sets you free. Supernatural power of God. There's a confronting the spiritual side, spiritual opposition. I'm not wrestling against flesh and blood. I'm not wrestling against the flesh and blood of that person I need to confront right now. I'm wrestling against powers and principalities. God, help me to be free from that influence. Help them to be free from that influence. Praise God. We're just about there. Finally, when God says it's time. So when is it time to confront? Well, first things first, I'm going to confront myself. I'm going to, my stuff, my logs, confront God, let my request be made known unto him, give him something to direct. I'm going to confront spiritual opposition in the name of Jesus, powers and principality at work, getting cleared out. And then finally, when is it going to happen? When God says it's time. I love this exchange between Jesus and his disciples. Jesus said, I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he'll speak, and he will tell you things to come. Isn't that a beautiful sensitivity of our good shepherd? He said, I have many things to tell you, but you can't bear them now. Well, I'll tell you one thing. When is it time to confront? If Jesus is going to be working through you, you who are spiritual, controlled by the Spirit that he's been sent to lead and guide you into all truth, which includes the truth of the timing of when to confront, he's also going to have that same sensitivity. In other words, he's going to be working on that other person's end too. All right? There may be some things your heart is ready, and there may be some things he's getting that other person's heart ready for too. There's going to be a timing that's going to come by his Spirit. Praise God. Once I've got my due diligence done, I have ears to hear what the Spirit is saying. I'm not looking through guilt and bitterness anymore. I'm looking clearly and I'm ready. Father, what do you want me to do? When is it time to actually confront? And I love that when he, the Spirit of truth, has come. And again, kind of going back there, the Spirit that God has put on the inside of us is not a spirit of bondage again to fear. It's not a spirit of bondage that brings us into slavery. We're no longer slaves. We're a child of God. We have a spirit of power, love, and a sound mind. No fear and love. That perfect love casts out all fear. You're going to rise up in the Spirit. There's a rising up in the Spirit. That place in the Spirit, fear goes. Fear is gone. You're listening to God. And when you're walking, when you're grooving, you're with God, you can just confront things. And it's not in a casual, mean spirit, uncaring, unsympathetic spirit. You carry his Spirit, truth and love. But you're getting in that place of love. Praise God, he's going to show you. Okay, yep, now is the time. Here's a great way of knowing when it's time, okay? When it's time And God's Spirit begins to show you that it's time. His wisdom sounds like this. We talked about the demonic wisdom, the way that Satan talks with self, you know, and bitterness and all that. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure. It's peace-loving. It's gentle at all times, willing to yield to others. It's full of mercy and good deeds. It shows no favoritism and is always sincere. And those who are peacemakers will plant seeds of peace and reap a harvest of righteousness. The wisdom that is from above is pure, peace-loving, gentle. In other words, as you've asked, if you confronted him and asked him, he's going to answer your prayer. And he's going to show you things to come. He's going to give you a wisdom. He's going to show you how to confront some things and go, wow, I would have never thought of to confront it that way. He can show you how to confront things in such a disarming way. In such a, I love the way, you who are spiritual, go to such one in a spirit of meekness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. No superiority. He takes that junk off of you. And he'll give you a wisdom. And you'll start to begin to think and pick up ways. You know, the enemy, when it's self-seeking demonic wisdom, it's the 15 comebacks you forgot to use when you were arguing and you want to go back and use them now. That's demonic wisdom, all right? But when it's the wisdom that's from above, it's like, wow. See, the wisdom that's from above isn't about trying to win a fight or win an argument or win the day or win. You're not trying to win anything. It's restorative. You're trying to restore and repair and heal trust within a relationship and heal trust in emotions in your own life. That's where it's healing. The whole motivation, pure, peaceable, peace-loving, gentle. Not even about being right. It's about just wanting truth. Man, even if I've got a, especially, you know, if it's a husband and wife or you got a situation with a fellow believer, to be able to take each other by the hand and say, man, we're equally yoked. We can get on the same side here. We can get on the same side of this together. I don't have to wonder and worry and think about what you're thinking and play mind games with you. Let's hold each other up. Pray for me. I'm going to pray for you. I know the battle you're fighting. I'm fighting the same one too. Have some empathy. Come together. Agree. Yeah, you're insecure. I'm not going to blast you for insecurity. I understand. I just want you to know I love you. I just want you to know that I'm with you. We can come together. We're equally yoked. We can do this. I'm talking about a context. These are some things that you can do. Wisdom is for above. It's just that way. And pretty soon you begin to get ideas. And you begin to get thoughts. So there's a wisdom that's a witness of the Spirit that, wow, that's pretty cool. Yeah, Lord, that would work. That would fly. That would make sense. That would not lift me up and condemn, but it would really address the situation on a level that we could both come together and talk about it and get the air clear. Another way is Colossians. It says, let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. Love the Amplified. It says, let the peace, the soul harmony which comes from Christ rule. This is what the peace does, that peace that passes our understanding. Act as umpire continually in our hearts, deciding and settling with all finality all questions that arise in your minds. In that peaceful state to which as members of Christ's one body, you are also called to live. And be thankful, appreciative, giving praise to God always. There's a peace. You're going to get into this place over here where you're praying about confrontation and you got a peace, you got a wisdom, you got a sense, you got a direction. And the peace is saying, and the Lord is saying, it's time. It's time. It's time. I've been in that place where I've had the Lord say, it's time. And I'm thinking, are you sure, Lord? Isn't there something else I could get out of my eyes? Is there something else I can do? Is there something else? Yeah, really? But it keeps coming back. When it's the Lord, there's some things that are coming. It'll be repetitive. It's not just a one-time only shot and it's too bad. No, it's not the way. God doesn't work that way. In fact, the scripture says, in the multitude of witnesses, let every rhema word be established. So God will witness multiple times that it is time and show you, yep, it is time. It's time to do it. It's time to go. It's all right. I'm going to be with you. It's different now. There's going to be a presence about you. There's a wisdom about you. There's a peace about you. There's a spiritualness about you that you can confront this now. It's different. So it's okay. You can do it. And I will say this, even though you get all that, there's still going to be an element of faith. You'll never get it to where you're still going to have to step out, especially if there's history there. There's still going to be an element of faith. But you're trusting. You're trusting with the Spirit who's been sent to lead and guide you into all truth is showing you. So when is it time to confront? Well, it's time to confront after you've confronted yourself. Getting the logs out of your own eye. You don't want to have to try to confront through a guilty conscience. You're not going to be very accurate when your eye is clouded with bitterness or guilt or things like that. Get your eye clear. Next, after you confront God, on purpose, in prayer, submitting, casting that care over on him, getting that ball in his court, giving him something to direct in return for confronting him with it. He's going to give you peace that'll keep your heart and mind. He'll give you pain relief. There will be an empathy from your great high priest that you will get, who will say, great, I'm so glad you're letting me in on this. It's going to give you relief and strength. Number three, after you confront spiritual opposition, it's not just a matter of you thinking right. You got to think right. You got to be honest with stuff, but you also got to realize there's an enemy who goes about as a roaring lion. You know, the enemy wants to tear up friendships and marriages and husbands and wives and parents and children and best friends and all that. He's there. He just wants to steal, kill, and destroy relationship. That's his ultimate prize, because God does so much through the knitting together of relationship. He's out to steal that. And this is where you call him on it. Say no in Jesus' name. There's things I'm not seeing right because I am being fooled by powers and principalities. Things they're not seeing right. You know, usually you know there's things they're not seeing right. You kind of got to go by faith. There's things you're not seeing right. But either way, you need to acknowledge that there are spiritual forces at work and be honestly dealing with it on both ends. And then finally, when God says it's time, he's going to show you. He's going to lead and guide you. God isn't afraid to confront. He's just going to do it in a way that's right. You know, Jesus said, I'm meek and lowly in heart. Come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and you'll find rest for your souls. What is he doing? He's making you like him before you go and confront. He's making you meek and lowly in heart and kind, sensitive to the Spirit, with a heart clear, trusting him by faith that he's going to speak through you and deal with things. And it'll be different this time. Well, Heavenly Father, we thank you in the name of Jesus that you've given us everything that we need that pertains to life and godliness. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that there is nothing, there's no one, there's no situation, there's no relationship, there's no issue, there's no thing that has to be our kryptonite, that we have to be afraid of, that we can't resolve, that we can't go there. We can go anywhere with you. And Father, I just pray this morning, Holy Spirit, as you're ministering, as you're speaking your sermon, your message, that you just encourage people this morning. Give them hope. Balls in their court. So much they can do. So much they can do. Praise God that you can work with and that you can use to bring resolution, to bring closure, to bring healing. Go ahead and make this your declaration of faith if your heart can agree. Say, Dear Heavenly Father, help me now to confront myself, to be honest with weights and sins that trip me up. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Mercy and grace, cleansing me from a guilty conscience. You've made me righteous. I see myself that way by the blood of Jesus. I'm not serving you because of my works. I'm serving you because of your love, because of your grace. That's what's made me right. Thank you for it, Lord. Help me to forgive by faith, to let go of all bitterness, and to forgive even as you've forgiven me. And Heavenly Father, I confront you now in the name of Jesus. You know the situation. You know the issue. Help me. Show me what to do. Give me the wisdom I need. I need your help. I need your peace to settle my heart and my mind. I need your relief from the pain, from the frustration. Jesus, you get me. You have a ministry just for that. I receive it now. You're included in this saga. You're right in the middle of this saga. It's not isolating me anymore. You're right there. And I thank you, Lord. You've given me authority in your name to resist all spiritual opposition with the name of Jesus, the name that's above every name, the name that spoiled the very powers and principalities that I wrestle against now. That name has power to clear the fog and to restore soundness of mind. Help me, Father, to be clear from that spiritual confusion. Help the other person to be free from the spiritual confusion, that we can see each other's hearts clearly without that fog. Thank you, Jesus. I look to you. I listen for your wisdom. I'm led by your peace. Show me the timing. Give me the grace. Thank you for preparing me to confront in a restorative and a healing way people I love, people I care about, anybody who needs the healing. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise God. Well, you know, like we always say, there's that second sermon, and you know, there's a lot of different applications I know for this and situations, relationships, and whatnot, but I think one of the big takeaways that you got to realize is that God isn't afraid of anything. His love isn't afraid of anything. And you don't have to be afraid that that love is going to give you a weak spine and a weak backbone and put you in a place of depression where you can't confront and deal with things. When you confront things, that love of God gives you the spine to confront things. When your heart and your conscience is clear and you're right, you can be honest even when you confront things to the person you're confronting. Say, yeah, I know. Maybe I do that. Maybe I just got my heart clear. I had to get some things right. And there's an empathy, not a superiority. There's a meekness. There's a kindness. When you walk through those steps, that turn the other cheek love of God is powerful. It'll keep you in the game. It'll keep you strong. It'll keep you hearing from God. He's going to show you what to do. Amen. Praise God. We'll receive that.